12 probability dominions in of the spirit body configuration, and you have that on all of the density levels and those kind of things. So it's basically just showing you the probability dominions. Now, when we come to the word Kiti membrane, around each of these, each of the 12 probability dominions, there is a membrane that actually keeps each probability separate from the other, which means it keeps the, if one of those probabilities is, say, in, on the incarnate level, it keeps that incarnate in its own linear time cycle separate from the other space-time cycles of the other incarnates. So the Kiti membranes are the literal energetic, they're like an energetic skin around each of the probability fields and around the central bud field in a probability set. They define the Kiti membrane as, Kiti membrane is an organic aspect of spirit body anatomy. It is an energetic skin composed of D1, D4, D7, D10, D13, etheric, and Rasha dark matter particulates surrounding and encasing each of the 12 probability dominions and the central actuality bud dominion, which is that one. This membrane separates each space-time matter probability dominion and each individual incarnate identity from the others, allowing for linear delineation of space, space-time life evolution cycles within the context of simultaneous manifestation within the eternal now time. What that basically means is, we've talked about incarnations before, and there's a lot of religions out there, several of them, that do teach reincarnation, but they teach it in a linear format, as opposed to acknowledging that actually everything is taking place now within the cosmic body of God Source. And linear time is actually a holographic illusion that is created by the structures inherent to the cosmic body of God Source. So, in order to experience linear time, the Kiti membrane is actually what separates those different aspects that are all occurring at the same time in the same structure and makes them appear as if one is after another, after another, after another. So when we begin to work with activating those membranes, it begins to break down those barriers of linear time, where we begin to open to the other probable selves, which means our other incarnations and our other levels of identity, where our perception and experience of time goes from being linear in our single lifetime to more and more progressively expansive into the eternal now, where we begin to remember other incarnations. We remember ourself as a core self that is actually simultaneously experiencing all of those other incarnations. So when we are working with the Kiti membrane, we are literally beginning to move into, in Buddhism, they would refer to it as the Buddha state. Now, there are various Buddha states we will look at as we progress through looking at the Kiti membranes in relation to the structures of spirit body anatomy that we've learned before. There is something else that goes with the Kiti membranes, and this is the Dhanakohare disharmonic. Now, this is an accumulation of inorganic etheric rasha particulates that form within the Kiti membrane through the use of free will choice in ways that are disharmonic to the organic eternal life encryption of the spirit body. These disharmonic particulates form an embedded mesh of inorganic encryption distortions within the Kiti membrane, which functions as the karmic template of spirit body anatomy. So this is the core of where your karmic imprint from other lifetimes, from your other simultaneous lifetimes, both past and future, is held within the disharmonics from choices that were made in those other lifetimes and that are occurring at the same time as yours right now, but in their own space-time vectors. But that karmic imprint is literally distortions within the Kiti membrane, which is that membrane that is surrounding each of the individual probability dominions. So as we activate the Kiti membrane, we will also be activating those karmic imprints, which could be a nightmare if you progressively activated them all at once. It's like having all of your nightmares come true simultaneously in one lifetime. And the reason that we were not able to even begin this level of spirit-body activation before was we did not have certain frequencies available on the planet. Those frequencies opened up during the October workshop, where we were anchoring certain pillars that we'll talk about a little bit later that allow for the progressive, it's called the Kosmaya pillar, or the Kosmaya flame pillar. That corresponds to, in other workshops, we've talked about the Kosmaya level of cosmic structure, literally, and that's like the largest one, and we brought in the purple rain and those kind of things in one of the other workshops. Well, the Kosmaya flame pillar is what will allow, when you run those frequencies, while activating the Qiti membranes, will progressively burn off that karmic imprint. It will transmute it back into organic energy and set it back in the template in the right manner. So you don't end up with a bunch of karmic nightmares all activating simultaneously from your other lifetimes through your present one. All right, next one, please. Okay, here we go. The three layers of the Qiti membrane and Dhanakohare karmic template. Now, this is interesting. There are three layers. So if you imagine that we have the 12 probability dominions in the central Bud or Buddha dominion. The Dhara layer corresponds with probability aspects 1, 7, 4, and 10. 1, 7, 4, and 10. So it would correspond to the membrane that is around those four probabilities or incarnates or selves. Right? That is referred to as the Dhara layer, the 1, 7, 4, 10. These form what is called, in way back we learned about the resolute twin sets, that they literally come together. It's two sets of aggregate twins that come together into the center point and activate the Buddha center point. So you have the first Dhara layer, in 1, 7, 4, 10. The second set of resolute twin probabilities or selves is the Mura layer, and that is the 2, 8, 5, 11 connection. You have 2 and 8, 5 and 11, and they would resolute twin set would come together into the center. And then there is a third layer called the Antura layer, and that is the 12, 6, 3, 9 resolute twin set. So each of the three layers of the Qiti membrane and its corresponding karmic template consist of four probability dominions, one resolute twin set. So then we have over here, I have to keep moving back and forth to read these, if my mic will come. Yes, hopefully. Yeah. Excuse me. Activation of one layer of the Qiti membrane allows merging of consciousness in the Bud state, the center state, the Bud state, of the four corresponding probability dominions into the central Bud or Buddha actuality, eternal, the actuality eternal. So when you activate the Qiti membrane of the set of four probabilities, it allows the four to pull into the center or Bud state, the Buddha state. That is where originally Buddha teachings came from. That's where that word was originally part of. Some of these teachings were introduced, just a small amount of them, in the Mahārāta texts that we've talked about for ages. So these teachings were very, very ancient, and all of the religions have interpreted portions of the Mahārāta text, little pieces of it, and that's why we have the 12 primary religions of information that were brought out from the Mahārāta texts, that were where all of those ideas actually came together and fit with a greater understanding of the whole that this paradigm that the Beloveds are teaching us represents. So if you activate one layer of the Qiti, so if you activate the Dhara layer, it allows the 1, 7, 4, 10 to come together into the central Buddha state. If you activate the next one, the Mura layer, it allows the 2, 8, 5, and 11 to come together. And if you do the Antura layer, it allows the 12, 6, and 3, 9 set to come together. And when you do all three layers, that allows all 12 of the probability dominions to come together into full Buddha activation. Now, let's see. Merging of consciousness, by the way, okay, here is, let me see. Okay, activation of the three layers of Kiti membrane allows merging of consciousness in the bud state of the 12 probability dominions into the eternal Buddha central actuality state. Merging of consciousness equals merging of space-time matter linear dominions into transharmonic trans-time blend, culminating in release from space-time finite boundaries. When a being is able to do this within its spirit body structure, it becomes able to literally become free from its phase lock, its atomic phase lock, into the space-time vector into which it was born. So it begins the ability to go transharmonic, which means you can go into the transharmonic frequency spectra of the aurora continuum and aurora earth and those kind of things that we've spoken about before. All right, next one, please. My glasses. Now, we've seen some of these diagrams before, and they have just new information has been added to them. All right, this is the spirit family, wheels within wheels, probability and actuality dominions, and this is showing, let's see, I'll just read these, 1, 2, 3, and 4. This is the fifth layer is not shown. Your density 5 Rishi layer is not shown. It's starting with your density 4 avatar, with its 12 primary oversouls. So if this is your avatar level of spirit body, it has its 12 primary oversouls. Each density 4 avatar has 12 density 3 oversouls. So this would be the density 4 identity composed of the 12 density 3 level oversouls. Over here, you have this other, so that's your avatar, the big circle around there. And each one of these is an oversoul. Here's your density 3 oversoul, with its 12 primary souls. So the 12 little probabilities within there would be the 12 souls within one oversoul. And you have oversouls, you have 12 oversouls, each with 12 souls, right? So this is showing this embedded structure of the spirit body structure. Over here, you have your density 2 soul matrix, one soul, right? This was the oversoul with its 12 smaller balls, and one of those balls is a soul. All of these are souls. So here is the avatar, the density 4 avatar, the density 3 oversoul, the density 2 soul with its 12 incarnates, your 12 primary incarnate selves. And then over here, you have your density 1 incarnate self, which would be one of those, right? One of those little balls within the soul structure, one of those, and it has 12 of its own small things called probabilities. So your one identity as a single incarnate in density one has 12 probable selves that will be born of the same body pattern that you are, but took 12 different directions of development that are all united through your Buddha self or your Bud self, which will be at the center of your it would be your primary full incarnate identity. So these are showing four layers. There's another layer that would have to do with your Rishi self. Your density 5 Rishi would be like the next big one, and inside of that would be 12 density 4 avatar selves, each with all of this going down inside of them. This shows your spirit family or the structure of your spirit body. You are not just an individual, you are a multitude of beings. And what is interesting is when we begin to work with activating the Kiti membranes, it progressively opens up the, let's say, opens up the perceptual and experiential doorways between all of those selves, where you progressively start to know yourself more and more as this larger and larger self. It doesn't dilute your sense of who you are. It doesn't make your cognition of your small self go away, but you realize your many small selves in many different space-time locations. And that's when you begin to go into not just what they refer to as the Buddha state here in relation to Buddha's teachings, but that is only what we refer to as a Buddha one state. There are like 5 levels of Buddha state that you can go into as you progressively expand yourself back out of time while still remaining in time. You can't hold all of the incarnational memory of all of it in one body, because that one body would be too small to hold all of the incarnational memory. But you can have little bits of that memory and a cognition that allows you to expand your perceptions outward, where you're no longer just perceiving through the little body, but you're also perceiving through the larger field. And it's from that larger field that you can access through calming and shifting your focus, calming the body and shifting your focus into expansion. You can progressively know yourself as that eternal being, as the being that is all of these beings simultaneously. And you can begin to see the purposes and the interconnected purposes of all of your lifetimes, not just this one. But there is a reason, there is a connection between every set of 12. There is a connection, there is a primary purpose that that center bud self had to create all of those 12 aspects and explorations of those particular other like aspects of itself. So as we progressively work with the Qiqi membranes, we have Qiqi membranes on each of these levels. Wherever you see one of these, where you have one set of probabilities, it implies it's got the 12 Qiqi membrane levels around, or layers around it, and the one around the center one. So each one of those, there are Qiqi levels around each and every one of those. This becomes fascinating because there are several levels of Qiqi. We have something called Tara Qiqi that is actually, it corresponds to the planetary level of these activations and corresponds to planetary logos or planetary logi. We will look at these in a little bit because there is a list. When we're working on the personal level, it's called the Dan Qiqi membrane. And it is the Dan Qiqi membrane that, as we progressively activate the three layers of that, which are the Dara layer, the Mura layer, and the Eterna layer, that progressively brings our incarnations more and more into our awareness, and our awareness more and more into the eternal reality of the now of ourselves, our eternal now selves. But the planet also has that level. So does the planet's considered solar planetary, which would be the solar system and the planet. Then there's one that is the galactic level, the solar galactic, solar system and galaxy. These are all levels of evolution that once you fully ascended as an Adashi adept, you would then go back, perhaps, you didn't have to, but you could go back and choose to experience that whole thing again on the planetary Logi level, where you would become the consciousness of a planet and a solar system. When we work with the activations that are taking place now, the beloveds are working with the all of the level of the universal down to the planetary solar levels of their Qiqi levels, and they are activating those. The planetary Tara Qiqi level activations are what will trigger our Dan Qiqi personal activations, or our Dan Qiqi personal activations. And this is part of what began on the in the last workshop in the Sliders 9, I believe it was workshop in Mexico and on the cruise. And that was going really well until the 31st of October, which we'll talk about as we get a little bit more understanding about what are these Qiqis anyway. The six bliss states of the personal Dan Qiqi awakening. Note, what does it say? Oh, note, Christian, Islamic, Hindu, Hebrew, and other religion teachings lead one upward to the teachings of conventional Buddhism. So those give you pieces of things that were originally intended to bring you up into the Buddhist teachings, conventional Buddhist teachings, and they were meant to bring you into other levels of teachings that haven't even been brought onto the planet yet in this form of religions. Now, there's a bit of information and frequency within each of these doctrines, the doctrines that have come down from each of those primary religions that are on the planet right now, that were meant to bring pieces of the understanding, pieces of the frequency. All of them had one thing in common, and so did the first two layers of Buddhism. They all taught of an externalized concept of God, of projecting your power outside as opposed to inside. Part of that was done not by the Christics, but by by fallen angelic races that were attempting to use those teachings in order to harness other people's power for their own uses. But at certain points, some of that, those teachings, before they got totally twisted into externalized God dogmas, were meant to help teach some of the FA beings that had been so, or races, that had been so arrogant and so I'm God type attitude, to teach them, first of all, You are not, right? First of all, get over your ego trip. So there was a whole, there was a fine line between where an external God concept was meant purposely by FA or fallen angelic mentality as something intentionally to harm someone, or where it was meant by some of the Christic races or various ones that were training fallen angelics who wanted to host, where they had to learn, you know, relearn how to think about themselves, where they were not the only, you know, thing in the universe. They had to realize that they could, you know, experience giving their power away, and they were eventually lead them back up to where, when you go through to esoteric Buddhism, the Vajra world teachings, these are the tantric teachings, Vajrayana is the, I think they call it the adamantine vehicle, dharmas, which are the teachings. That teaches you, or even the other two teach you, oh, the master is the, you know, you put your power on the master and all that kind of stuff. Once you get past that, it teaches you you didn't have to do that in the first place, which is kind of the trick to Buddhism. Once you realize you get into the Vajrayana layers, they bring the concept of God back into the self and into the vertical relationship. Now, even the Vajrayana teachings don't, that are on planet at this time, don't fully, they can teach you many interesting things, and you can learn how to, well, let's say travel a lot while your body is here. You can also do a lot of other things with your luminary body, which we'll learn some things about in this workshop and others. But there was a progression of teachings through getting basic understandings through, you know, even in the Islamic teachings, which were originally seated for certain purposes that I really won't discuss on film. But there are still some teachings in there that can, they're meant to help to bring order and understanding and like behavioral self-modification and those kind of things for a civilized society. So there are good aspects in all of the religions, even some of the ones that didn't start out where the other ones had. Let's see, I'll go back into here now. Now, conventional Buddhism, let me read this first. Transpersonal identity, awakening the Buddha states within. Now, the Buddha states, remember, are what we refer to in the crisp Buddha teachings as that bud state, the bud within that flower of probabilities, that original source out of which the 12 probabilities came, be it the original soul out of which the 12 incarnates came, or the original incarnate out of which the 12 probable selves came. So that we, when we refer to a Buddha state, that's what the Christic Buddha teachings are referring to, not some guy who, you know, levitates and visits people and reached one of the five planes. Because in Buddhism, traditional Buddhism, they teach something about five worlds or whatever. There's a lot more than five. And, you know, so the traditional Buddhist teachings will take you to a certain point, but there are points beyond those that haven't even, you know, been anchored here in a formal religion or anything. So we have the conventional Buddhism, we have monastic Buddhism, which is referred to as Hinayana, the lesser vehicle dharmas, and Mahayana, the greater vehicle dharmas. Dharmas are teachings, right, like groups of teachings. And that was the first layer, and then the Mahayana, so Hinayana and Mahayana, the two. Right. These were meant to bring about the Dankini bliss, the Buddha One level. So if you completely fulfilled those, you would begin to, you would go into fulfillment of the Dankini bliss or achieve Buddha One, Density One incarnate level, where you'd have your 12 probable selves merge to become one fully embodied incarnate, free from the Dana Kohari wheels of karma and Density One. The 12 faces of potentiality equals one incarnate identity. So that would become the one Buddha incarnate identity. That is what Buddha level one is, and that is what any of the teachings of even conventional Buddhism and anything below it, as far as the learning curve goes, would take you to this level and this level only. That's just the beginning of the Dankiti awakenings that go all the way up to six levels. So once you become a Buddha, there's a lot of other things to grow into becoming different levels of Buddha. And those teachings are not on the outside or in the external world at this time, other than the introduction that the Beloveds are bringing in now and trying to show where they fit with some of the other teachings that are on planet right now. So we have, let's see, after you get through and go into the Dankini bliss state, where you have your four potentialities or your four probable selves merge and into one full incarnate identity, one Buddha identity, then the teachings of esoteric Buddhism start to bring you into a bit more of the next level of expansion. So they kind of fit between fulfillment of the first level of Buddha and the second level of Buddha. The Vajra worlds, which are tantric, these are the world, the Vajrayana teachings, dharmas, are the ones that begin to explore all sorts of things, where they begin to teach you that, you know, your relationship with Source, they don't really refer to it as God. The relationship with Source is within yourself, and that, the lower ones actually teach you to get rid of the concept of self, that you are nothing, which is also twisted from what it was originally intended. It was meant to expand your ego, not annihilate it. But yeah, but in the Vajra world teachings, you begin to expand as your Buddha awareness. So it's no longer considered ego because it's now Buddha awareness. This is where you get into, there's some magical teachings, and some of them are even found under the label of Hinduism, where they get into tantric type explorations. Tantra isn't always just about sex. People in America usually have heard it in relation to sex practices from the East. And some of them were about how to use energy in relationship with, you know, making love with each other. But it's also about using energy in general and how you interrelate with energy. So it's like making love, but with all things when you reach that state. So there's a lot of beauty in some of the tantric teachings, but they are not an end unto themselves either. When you go up into the level two Buddha, which is the then Kartha bliss, this is where you have 12 incarnate selves, which is 144 probable selves, right? Because you have 12 incarnates, each with 12 probable selves. So 12 incarnate selves merge to become one fully embodied soul, free from the wheels of karma, density two. So on that next level, you have 12 faces of the incarnate, which is one soul identity, becomes free and activates its Dankiti membranes, and it reaches the Dankartha bliss, the Buddha level two cognition or state, and that's that is the full state of the density two soul. The next level up, and this is where undisclosed Christ Buddha doctrines would come in, some of which these teachings that we are now being given would be the introductory teachings of. The book of Kali Om Satare that they've talked about over the last couple of years, that eventually they will begin bringing pieces of in, are part of those teachings that were referred to as the undisclosed Christ Buddha doctrines. So they're not just Christian, they're not just any of the others, and they're not just Buddhist. They're Christ Buddha, which means the bud of the Christ, which is the eternal Christ. So they are the full spectrum teachings that would be the next level of evolution. If you can look at these as evolution of spiritual understanding and also evolutions of frequencies being turned on within our own spirit body and within our own physical body, it can help understand where all of the religions of the world have a little piece of bringing some of that online with ourselves, some of our own self online with ourselves, where it opens up. If we read certain doctrines, practice certain chants, it turns certain things on in the biofields and in the DNA, and that allows those cognitions to come into what we call conscious awareness. So all of the religions, most of us, if we looked at all of our lifetimes that are being run simultaneously, we will have aspects of ourselves and each of the primary religious affiliations, where we studied each of those things in different pieces, and a lot of other ones that aren't even on planet right now. A lot of the indigenous shamanistic trainings were also part of these things. So we would find ourselves very colorful beings, and not just, okay, well, I'm a Christic this time around, a full Christic, and maybe I was a Christian last time and a Buddhist the time before that. We'll find that we had cycles where we studied one set of teachings and accreted one set of frequencies, and then we had cycles where we do another set. So all of it, it's not that any of the religions are bad. Some are more compatible with Christ Buddha teachings than others, but they all have a little piece of frequency that will fit in with the entirety of your spirit body structure and assisting in the awakening process. Some religions do have distortions that activate the reverse coding that would allow you to inadvertently plug into fall matrices. And when we work with the Christ Buddha teachings, and the frequency protections that are inherent to those structures that we've been building for the last 10 years within our biofields and in the shield, it progressively protects us from those inadvertent triggers in other texts and other tonings and other prayers that might have triggered Metatronic. Right now we're on a minute. So we're at a position where we can go back into the original stance of unity through diversity, where the diversity within all of the different cultural perspectives and religious perspectives on the planet, we can again embrace that, because now we have the protection, because we worked with the Chris teachings, we have the protection to not worry about the distorted aspects that may be in any set of teachings. So we can really embrace the people who of all teachings, even if they might not be ready to embrace our teachings, we can still open ourselves with a loving heart into those spaces without worrying about them doing something to our fields or getting us caught up in a karmic path that we don't want to engage. All right, anyway, next one. So, the undisclosed Chris Buddha doctrines, which we're just beginning to see exist, these correspond to the other four layers of the Dankiti membrane activations. So the next one would be the Dhanraja bliss, which is the Buddha 3 state, and that's the density 3 oversoul, where you have 12 souls, 144 incarnates, 1728 probable cells, merged to become one fully embodied oversoul, free from the wheels of karma on density 3. 12 faces of the soul equal one oversoul identity. The next level would be the Dankumi bliss, Buddha level 4, density 4 avatar. 12 oversouls, 144 souls, 1728 incarnates, 20,736 probable selves merge to become one avatar embodied, free from the wheels of density 4 karma. 4 faces of the oversoul equals one avatar identity. And the next one is the Dhanrishi bliss, the Buddha 5 state. It's the density 5 Rishi Mashaya. Now, we've talked about messiahs versus mashayas. The word messiah originally was, they were attempting to refer to the mashayas, but messiahs became the outside distorted teachings. What they were talking about was the mashaya levels of our own identities and also the mashaya councils that exist within the cosmic structure and the universal structure. The Mashayahana councils of Aquarian are the ones that oversee our teachings. They are one of the head groups of the teachings that are being brought here under the Azurite name and the Freedom Teachings name. And above them are the Kosmeia councils, which are the largest ones in our particular Kosmeia, which is a structure that we've talked about before in relation to cosmic structure. So here is where we're Rishi Mashaya. So this is where the Dhanrishi bliss is the first level of bliss of a Mashaya, where you just start to become a Rishi Mashaya. 12 avatars, that's 12 avatar identities, which means 144 oversouls, 1728 souls, 20,736 incarnates. So that's 20,736 of your simultaneous incarnates. Well, minus one, because you'd be one, right? Coming online with your awareness, right? Yeah. Right? And at this point, your gene code is probably not going to handle anywhere near that. So you learn to carry your gene code and yourself here consciously, not annihilate your ego. Your ego is the part, positive ego is just the part that looks out on your 3D time vector and moves forward in time and grows as one identity. But that one identity can also expand itself to the greater field of cognition around it that includes all of those levels. So even if it's not fully online with the DNA, it's almost as if you open the DNA into those larger fields and you perceive from the two spaces simultaneously, but you'll find yourself with a lot of cognition. And this is where you start to realize something, some of this is starting, where your DNA just can't keep up with the bigness of your eternal identity, where you start to just have this direct cognition, especially if you go to sleep and you're just starting to wake up, and you have this huge awareness where whatever problem you were thinking about or whatever before when you went to sleep, you just get this amazing awareness. Or maybe there wasn't even a problem. You just had this amazing experience when you were disassociating your consciousness from the body. You're just in that spot when you're coming back in and you still feel it. And as you come back awake, it goes and it gets squashed. And you just cannot put your finger on it or cannot articulate a linear thought to explain the wow that you knew you just experienced, right? That's when the DNA is just too small to carry the frequency spectra of the aha direct cognition you had. And the more you move into these states, these bliss states, the more you have less to say, because it just doesn't even translate after a while into words. It's just a a knowing, a being, and you become more and more and more about the eternal now and not so much worried about the past or the future, because you start to perceive them all as just happening now, and you start to perceive the perfection of your own identity as now. And that doesn't mean you get arrogant. It's just this amazing expansion and holding flame, holding the Buddha flame of knowing. And it's the crisp Buddha flame. You can call it whatever you want. It's another one of those things. When they use words to describe these states, they're the closest we can get in English that can even touch the cognition, because most of these states are beyond linear translation into labels. After a while, the labels don't matter. The labels are like stairs that will get you to a doorway, but they aren't the doorway, and they can't push you through. They can get you to where you can launch into the experiential realities yourselves. And that's what the teachings, particularly when we go into sliders 10, 11, and 12 during the next year and a half, those will particularly be more and more about the experiential levels. We'll still have words to lead us through those doors, but we will more and more go into experiencing these layers personally. When we get to the next level, the final level, the Dani Luma bliss, that's the Buddha sixth level, and that's actually the Adashi One Dani. That's where you are literally. It is your level of cognition within the Adashi return one cycle. When we talked about the three Adashi return cycles, so that is your fully ascended self. It's 12 Rishi Mashaya, which is 144 avatars, 1728 oversouls, 20,736 souls, and 248,832 incarnates, and 2,985,984 probable selves merge to become one fully embodied Dani Adashi adept. So becoming an Adashi adept is a bit of a process. It's not like poof, you're an adept. There you go. No. And I think that's a little, yeah, that's Adashi one level. There's three Adashi levels of adepthood. Yeah, that's when you work on like becoming a solar system and then becoming a galaxy and becoming a universe if you decide to come back in once you ascend fully as an individual. All right, so the bliss state occurs when the existing conscious identity level transmutes its Dhanakuhari karmic template and activates the corresponding density level of the personal Kiti membrane, the Dan Kiti. When you see the word Dan in front of Kiti, it always refers to the personal level. Later we'll see, if you see the word Tara in front of it, it refers to the planetary solar level of the same thing. All right, so the personal Kiti membrane, allowing for freedom from the corresponding density time cycle via merger of the corresponding 12 probabilities into the central bud Buddha state, actuality dominion. Embodying a bliss state is characterized by release of the corresponding level of ego, personality, finite identity. As it expands, you release it into expansion, not release it into annihilation or extinction, which is what the word nirvana tends to translate into. So it's not about wiping out the ego. You transmute the negative aspects of ego so the ego can go into its natural expansion into the state of at-one-ment or attunement with all that is within that density level. The I am this, I am state, right, constitutes release of polarity, separation, and return to unity for that level. This can feel like a mini death of the small, finite self, personality, ego, and rebirth of the eternal God self. If there are fears in the ego itself, and the emotional bodies, our emotional bodies here, because of the physical distortions within our gene code, are actually programmed to fear annihilation, to fear death. So when these expansions start to occur, there are waves of fear. This is what I think in Buddhism they refer to as Dankini bliss, which can be like really frightening and unpleasant to experience at first because of the emotional body distortions that are carried in the gene code. When we go into this expansion, that level of the emotional body is trapped and it feels like it's being annihilated when it's actually being opened and expanded in. So there, I remember as some of these just small levels of these activations were taking place in me, these waves of fear were coming out of nowhere, and it was like, you know, I know fear is one thing when you have certain things to fear, but like completely, there is no rational reason for it. These little like mini death fears, as if some part of you feels like it's dying, and then it transmutes and it goes into a, oh yeah, there is life after death feel. So those levels of ourselves, when we move through into each of the bliss states and may experience some of those waves of fear, or you know, like fear of death, feeling like the ego is being annihilated, the little identity. But then there is a huge compassion that comes in after that, where you realize, oh, nothing died, I just expanded. So there are some interesting experiential things that can go with this. They'd be different for each person, but they may have certain characteristics, like fear, things coming up, and angers and terrors and this kind of things, and then past that. It's almost like you move through them and just breathe through them. Observe them, but don't let them stick, and don't push them down and run away from them. If they come up, you just kind of, oh, yeah, okay, whew. Yes, that appears to be terror, right? Oh, that appears to be absolute fear terror. That appears to be, am I dying terror, right? So you learn to just, like, pull yourself back in your head a little bit and use your mind to watch and observe while you're letting the body experience them, and using the breath to lift them up and out and send them into your outer field, and then they start to change, where you'll find under that there's something else, and under that there's something else, and eventually there's a, oh, that's done. Oh, that feels good. Right? You're like, oh, glad that's off me. Right? And then you'll feel positive things coming up under it. So when we work with